Mason Jones joined the Philadelphia Orchestra just 2 years after Mr. Schoenbach, but he stayed 21 years longer. Mr. Jones studied at the Curtis Institute of Music and joined the Philadelphia Orchestra during only his second year there. He became first horn of the orchestra in 1940 and personnel manager in 1953. Mr. Mason Jones.
I'm Mason Jones, a colleague of Saul's, and went through Fantasia with him and went through the All-American Youth Orchestra tour with him. So he's stolen a lot of my thunder, but I still have some things to say. First of all, before I digress on Stokowski, I'd like to introduce Ed Heilicke to everybody in this hall, and I'd like you to stand up. Can you, Ed? I'll tell you about him. Stand up. Ed Heilicke. That's Ed. That's a Finnish name, isn't it? A Finnish name. He is curator, was curator of the Stokowski collection at the Curtis Institute, and for many years corresponded with conductors and biographers and music lovers all about the music that is now in the University of Pennsylvania. And he did a wonderful job in maintaining the archives of Leopold Stokowski at Curtis. And I hope you're glad that now resides at the University of Pennsylvania. Thank you very much. And another colleague of mine who played in the second tour of All-American Youth Orchestra, John Krell, many years piccolo player with the Philadelphia Orchestra. John, can you stand up? Or, well, he's right down there in the corner. So in 1940, Toscanini preceded the All-American Youth Orchestra, and I presume they played at the Teatro Colón in Buenos Aires while we played in the Rex Movie Theater. However, one of the concertmasters of the All-American Youth Orchestra was a fellow by the name of Paul Schur, and he was on the same desk as Betty Jane Atkinson. They were co-concertmasters. And Paul came in one day after we had been playing in South America and got to Argentina, and he said, the people are all saying, and the papers are all saying, non Toscanini, bravo Stokowski. Of course, their music making is entirely different. But I must say, as a youngster in those days, I had just been in Curtis a year and a half, and I got a note from the personnel manager inviting me to audition for the Philadelphia Orchestra. And of course, I was flabbergasted, and I went to my teacher, Anton Horner, and said, I have this note, what should I do? He said, go up and play Up a Storm. So I did, and it worked out beautifully. And after a year and a half at Curtis, I joined the Philadelphia Orchestra, green behind the ears, not finished behind the ears, so to speak. Now, talking about Stokowski's musicianship is well known to all of us who have ears and have listened to recordings and concerts. But how he organized that group in 1940 with auditioning some 10,000 musicians all over the United States, and he had the organization to have a committee and workers all over to bring 500 of them to Philadelphia, where he auditioned and then had to pick 105 men. It's amazing the organization that he had. I'm sure he had plenty of friends in business community and in the musical world. He had much experience with the Philadelphia Orchestra and their board and how to get along with financiers and big men. But it is simply amazing how he did organize that wonderful orchestra. This orchestra had no endowment. It had no board of directors. It just had willing, very willing, excited youngsters and a marvelous conductor. Now, as far as the finances of the musicians, it was a pittance that we all played for. And even the experienced professionals who from the Philadelphia Orchestra filled in a lot of the principal chairs, didn't grumble at all. There was some kind of grumbling because of the low pay, and some of the principal players in 1940, after this tour, got together and said, well, if there's a second one in 1941, we simply will not play. And there were three or four of those people who agreed to that little inner pact. And I did not play, and a couple of the others did. But 1941 came along, and there was the second tour by Stokowski, which was transcontinental. It didn't go to South America. It went across the United States. And so I stayed home, and that summer was a great summer for me because I courted and married my wife at that time. So that was the primary reason, not the financial reason that I stayed home. And Stokey even called me up on the phone when he heard I wasn't coming. He said, why aren't you coming? I said, well, I have other things to do, and I made some generalities, some play like that. And he accepted it. He took an acoustic shell with him all the way, primarily for his concerts in Rio, where we played at a football field, a huge, huge football field. And the people were in there by the thousands, and he set up his stage with this acoustic reflector, which he carried with him to all concerts. And after the first rehearsal at that location, as we were getting on the bus, I looked back, and there was Stokey on a stepladder arranging some of the lights in the back of the shell. He himself was up there, just like your home trying to get a light bulb in. But there he was doing all that work. So he was intimately associated with everybody. The conditions of the tour were sometimes trying. We had a run out from Buenos Aires to Rosario up in the hills, and we went by train. And it was an old rickety train, and it was an overnight haul. And we slept on practically wooden boards with a little bit of a blanket underneath. And I remember one of our viola players taking Stokowski to task about this brutal arrangement of travel. And he questioned Stokowski, and I heard them about 5 or 10 minutes, not arguing, but this man putting forth his premise that the conditions were terribly bad, and Stokowski has said hardly a word about it. Now, I know that he would have done better had he been able to, but he was not able to. But I'm talking about the organization of the man who made so many things possible. I mean, here he had been with the Philadelphia Orchestra with all that backing and a great public and a lot of recordings and everything, and yet he was able to get together this group of youths. And he went on to many other things, as some of my colleagues will tell you. Thank you very much.
Mason Jones, first horn of the Philadelphia Orchestra.